The Tito's handmade vodka was ice cold, condensation trickling down the copper metal shaker. It's gotta be fresh lime, they drawled. Tart, but balanced. They weren't normally this finicky about cocktail hour, but with Tito's, it had to be perfect. Simple syrup, the final ingredient. The sound of shaking filled the room to the brim. For the perfect pour at next week's book club, try the Tito's Gin Literature. Find the recipe at titosvodka.com. 40% alcohol by volume, namely 80 proof, crafted to be savored responsibly.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Since 1983, Eddie Trunk has been the voice for fans of rock, hard rock, and heavy metal. A best-selling author, host of TV's That Metal Show, and seven national radio shows, including Trunk Nation, daily on Sirius XM.
Interesting.
Eddie offers the world his news-making interviews, passionate analysis, honest commentary, and who knows what else. So welcome to the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Eddie Trunk Podcast, new every Thursday, Apple Podcasts, and of course, PodcastOne.com. As you can hear this week, the opening coming to you via the iPhone, so apologize if the quality isn't as it usually is, but that's because I'm in a hotel room in LA at the moment recording this open. Once we get to the actual interview, we will have much better audio quality for you. So just a couple quick things here at the top before we segue into that interview. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Thank you for, of course, subscribing and listening each and every week to the Eddie Trunk Podcast. It is greatly appreciated. I'm in LA at the time I'm doing this, where I spend so much time these days coming off of another LA invasion, a bunch of radio on my Sirius XM show. Of course, the interviews you hear on the Eddie Trunk Podcast originate on my Sirius XM show, which is called Trunk Nation, and heard live Monday through Friday, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Channel 106, and replaying every night, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, and on demand on the Sirius XM app as well. Great week last week in L.A. Did a great interview with Billy Gibbons from The Rainbow from my latest L.A. Invasion. The ZZ Top documentary, which is about to come out, is really, really good. Be sure to check that out. Then I did some studio shows, had Shavo from System of a Down on. I had songwriter Holly Knight on, Fred Corey from Cinderella. Really, really good time. Some great stuff from last week on the Sirius XM show. Here on the podcast, I bring you what I can, when I can, as far as interviews. But if you don't have Sirius XM and you're in the U.S. or Canada, you should consider getting on board. You're only getting a tiny taste of what I do on a daily basis on that channel here on the podcast. I'll bring you what I can, like I said, in the future as I can. This week, I'm bringing you an interview that, like all the interviews, originated on that show about 2 or 3 weeks ago with Tracy Guns. Great conversation here about some stuff that you probably never really heard Tracy talk about, and we'll get to that in just a second, though. But before we do, I want to tell you about Pluto TV, because Pluto is the leading free streaming television service. I have a beach house, like a weekend home, and I just have one of those streaming TVs there, and Pluto is awesome for something like that. You can really watch Pluto anywhere. You can watch over 100 TV channels and thousands of movies on demand. It's all completely free. Pluto TV never even asks for a credit card. All you have to do is sign up and you can start watching. Pluto TV is the easy and completely legal, that's important too, way to watch your favorite TV shows and movies totally free. So what are you waiting for? Never pay for TV again. Download Pluto TV. You can download Pluto TV totally free on all your favorite devices today, including your phone, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, and of course, smart TVs, PlayStations, anywhere else you stream. Be sure to check it out, everybody. It's really very cool. Pluto TV.
Welcome back to the quickest podcast ever, brought to you by Kohl's.
Today's topic, Mother's Day.
Just picking out some gifts at Kohl's. There's a KitchenAid mixer calling my name.
Your name? Doing some self-gifting, huh?
Nah, that's for my mom. Baking's her love language.
Love that.
The Fitbit, that's for me. Getting it for the self-care and the Kohl's cash.
That's a big deal.
So's the 20% off and free store pickup. I can get it all in less than an hour.
Talk about shopping goals.
20% offer valid April 28th through May 2nd. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
All right, so the podcast this week is an interview with Tracy Guns. And, of course, LA Guns have a new album out right now that is called The Devil You Know. It's their second since the reunion of Tracy Guns and Phil Lewis. There's obviously a lot of drama going around, as has been the case for a long time. There are, once again, now two versions of LA Guns, and Tracy not too happy about that, as you will also hear during the course of this interview. But one of the really interesting things about the interview you are about to hear is that I don't think a lot of people realize that the Guns in Guns N' Roses is actually Tracy Guns, who had a early history with that band, as you're about to hear, with Izzy Stradlin and Axl Rose and a different version of that band very early on that he was very much a part of. And I, in all the years I've known Tracy, never really got deeply into that with him. And in this interview, we did. And I think you're going to find it really, really fascinating, these early stories of his history and what turned into LA Guns, one band, and the other band, of course, Guns N' Roses. So enjoy this. We cover a lot of ground. I'll be hosting a show with LA Guns September 13th at the IDL Ballroom in Tulsa. Hope to see you if you're in that area of the country. All of my appearances, as usual, are on the homepage of eddietrunk.com. And be sure to follow on Instagram and Twitter at Eddie Trunk. And you'll get all your updates on Twitter up to the second news and info there. Also, a quick reminder, don't forget about Trunk Fest. New episodes still airing on Access TV. That, of course, comes up as AXS on your channel grids. New episodes every Sunday night, 9:30 Eastern Time, 6:30 Pacific. Replays Wednesday night, 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific. Another new episode coming your way this Sunday, so be sure to watch, and I appreciate you doing so, or at least DVR and watch when you want. All right, we'll get to Tracy Guns on this week's Eddie Trunk Podcast coming up next.
The Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Calling all true crime fans, the Court Junkie Podcast is now once a week on Podcast One. Imagine being wrongfully convicted for a crime you didn't commit, or a killer is still on the loose even though there's enough evidence for an arrest. The Court Junkie Podcast shines a light on the injustices of the judicial system through deep dives into court documents and interviews with those closest to the case. Download new episodes of the Court Junkie Podcast every week on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
This is the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Eddie Trunk, and this is the Eddie Trunk Podcast. Let's get to our feature interview this week. It is with Tracy Guns of LA Guns. And I failed to mention in the open, joining Tracy in this interview, who you will hear from a bit, is guitarist Ace Von Johnson, who is the second guitarist in LA Guns. He's been in the band, not exactly sure how long, maybe a little under a year at this point. Best known as the guitarist in the band LA Guns, His status in that band is something we address with Ace, and also his involvement and how he got to be a part of LA Guns. So Ace Von Johnson, along with Tracy Guns, who is obviously the guy with the history in LA Guns, who we'll spend most of the interview talking to, and also getting a ton of interesting history about his early years as a member of Guns N' Roses as well. So Ace Von Johnson, Tracy Guns of LA Guns, enjoy on the Eddie Trunk podcast.
I'm getting a little lesson from Tracy Guns here about all the places I need to eat.
Yeah,
and in the area, I said, yeah, that's just where I need more places to eat. And Tracy just really bummed me out. He's like, what do you think about it? We only got probably 30 good years left. Maybe that. Might as well go for it.
Yeah, that's right.
I was like, what?
Might as well enjoy it.
But, you know, that hits you like a ton of bricks because you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, I got like, I don't know what. I don't want to do the math. The math fucks me up. You can't do the math.
Well, when I turned 50, I started counting backwards. You know, like before you're 50.
Let me pull this mic in a little so we can hear you a little bit.
You know, when you turn, you know, before you're 50, you're just cruising along life. Then you wake up on your 50th birthday and it's like, how many years do I have?
Wait, how old are you?
53.
Yeah. Damn. And this youngster over here,
how old
Mr.
Are you?
Ace Von Johnson.
36, I think.
You suck.
What a dick.
You cut me in half hard. And count the rings at this point.
36. Welcome to Tracy Guns and Ace Von Johnson of LA Guns in the studio. Golf clap for everybody.
Howdy.
Woo-hoo,
good to see you boys.
Howdy.
You were just down on the road, right? Just did a little run of dates,
yes,
a little
sir.
Break here right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm moving, so I don't get a break.
Well, you told me you wake up like super early.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you are tired by now at not even noon yeah, LA time.
It's like
you're already right back
hey,
to
I'm
bed.
53.
Yeah,
what do you want? Well, these guys on the bus, you know, I stay on home hours on tour. I get up at 7:30 in the morning.
Really?
Yeah, no matter where we are. It's just being 53. But like him and Johnny, you know, they'll creep out of the bunk around 2 p.m. I was like, wow, what's it like to just sleep? I used to do that.
But you probably go to bed. Do you go to bed early?
Not necessarily, no.
So you don't, you're not one of those guys, you want your 7-8 hours at least?
I want it, but like now, I sleep 5.5 to 6.5 hours, period. That's it. It doesn't matter if I have nothing to do and I go to bed at 3 a.m, I'm going to wake up at 7:30 to 8:30 in the morning.
Oh, see, not me. See, I'm super nocturnal, man. Yeah. So I'd probably be more like Ace and Johnny.
Yeah. Oh, me too. Like normal, you know, before I was with child, you know, I'd go to bed at 4 or 5 a.m. and sleep till noon or whatever. And,
yeah.
You know, but you know, being on the starting in preschool, you know, having to get up at, you know, 6:00, 6:15 for, you know, all the way through elementary school. You know, that my body is just like when I go to England, I go to bed the same time LA time.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it's insane. Yeah.
Well, what's crazy was when I come here, which is once a month for a few days a month, every month, coming to the West Coast, like most people are out of whack from the 3 hours early or whatever. For me, I snap right into it because I don't go to bed at home before 2 normally.
Right.
So here, 11, 12 o'clock, not a big deal. So I adjust very quickly here. The problem is if I'm here a little bit, when I go back home, where I'm normally going to bed at 2, now I'm going to bed at like 4 or 5 because I have already gotten into this mode, and it can really throw you off a little bit. But I don't like I've always been like that. I've never like I try to never have anything really that I need to do before noon if I can help it. And that's when I say that, that's not coming from a point of laziness because I'm anything but.
Yeah.
I'll stay up as late as I have to get the job done.
Yeah.
You know, I routinely don't turn my computer off till 10:30 at night.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll put in my time and I'll get all my work done. But when I do shut it down, I want to go to bed and not have to know about setting an alarm clock. That was always my goal, like decades ago when I got into radio. The idea was shift work. It's like, I can just go to bed and not have to. I wake up when I wake up and not the idea of setting a clock and being up at 8 or something is just nuts to me. I can't do it.
No, it's horrifying. I mean, I've had a big family, you know, they worked religiously. You know, I come from a long line of plumbing shops and, you know, people's pipes break early in the morning, you know. So, you know, my granddad, my
dad. Your family was in the plumbing business?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where?
Here in Hollywood.
Here in LA.
Yeah, Hollywood Plumbing.
You're born and raised here.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know.
Did you work in that business before you started playing?
Yeah, until I was 17. And then I was on Hollywood and Sunset at the Los Burritos when I was 17. And my cousin Willie, I was like his apprentice. And you know, he's like, okay, you got to, you know, pull that, yank that toilet out, cut that, you know, the cast iron pipe, and then we're going to replace that pipe. I went down there, I cut it, and somebody flushed the toilet next door.
Oh,
and that was the end of my plumbing career.
Oh, man. Like,
I am not chasing turds for a living. Nope.
But the good news is if you're ever on the road and you got a busted pipe, and L.A. Guns is in the neighborhood.
I call a plumber.
You could cut a deal with Tracy if you're really in a jam and playing a club somewhere and there's a plumbing backup. Everybody right. know Tracy's going to rip a great solo in a little while, but he can fix that pipe for you, man.
I can.
Wow, I didn't know that.
I'm a very hands-on person.
Ace, are you handy with anything?
No.
I can't change a light bulb.
No,
man.
I'm pretty tech savvy with that kind of stuff. My growing up, my father was really into building dirt bikes and motorcycles and stuff.
So oh yeah,
yes.
Grew up with like an Allen wrench in my hand and a hammer in the other. But that was when I was a kid. I mean, not anymore. You know, if something breaks at the house or someone needs some IKEA furniture built, I'm pretty
Tracy.
Good.
Oh, IKEA, forget about
somehow,
it.
Somehow.
You know, do that too, Tracy? IKEA and all that with the millions of screws
time,
and the friggin' diagrams?
I turned it, you know, for years I was the youngest guy in the band, you know, like 6 or 7 years younger than anybody. And even with Phil now, I'm the band dad.
Totally.
It's really bizarre.
Uncle Guns.
Yeah. It's like, can you, like, yeah. And I always say yes. I'm a complete yes man.
It amazes me the people that are handy like that. Cause I'm so not. Like last night on my LA show from the Rainbow, George Lynch was there with Don, and George came in and he was like, you know, he had sweats on and a tank mm-hmm. top and he had a sleeve on his arm. And I said, what's going on with you? And he's like, I just got done cutting down trees and landscape. I'm like, what? Yeah. He goes, oh, I go, why do you do that? He goes, I love it. I love it. He goes, I go out and do all that stuff. And Stone Temple Pilots guys were there. And I think Robert was saying, he's like, oh, I love doing building. And Richie Kotzen's like that. He'd build his own house. Like,
well, think about it. You know, electric guitar players, there are so many toys involved that get upgraded constantly, you know, throughout your life, that you kind of just become a mechanical person. You know what I mean? You're like trying to build a pedal board and a rig and putting amps together, wiring them together and changing the tubes to get hotter to, you know, there's so much involved in being an 80s, you know, shred tone aficionado, you know, I can understand why all those guys are into cutting down trees and building stuff.
Yeah, it's
hot
just,
rods. I mean, I've built 6 cars since I was 22.
Really?
You know? Oh yeah. It's you got to do something.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know. I sleep. I think we just established that I sleep when I can sleep, and that's pretty much it. Well, all right, we got a lot to get into, a lot of stuff to talk about with LA Guns. We'll work some calls in as well for the guys. Of course, the new album, The Devil You Know, is out there. There's more tour dates coming up and a lot more. I want to get a little LA history with Tracy because, like you said, he's born and raised here. We're doing the show from LA today. I want to go back in time a little bit and go back to the good old days when we weren't 53 and 54 years old.
Yeah.
Let's go down memory lane a little bit. Before we do that, though, we've been talking about this never-ending drama of Woodstock 50 and the Woodstock 50th anniversary concert.
I thought they canceled it.
They officially, minutes ago, have just reported it is now officially not happening.
Okay.
It was going to be moved to Maryland. Uh-huh. It was going to be it was going to be a free show. Then artists started dropping off. There was all this ridiculousness with it, and nobody believed it was actually going to happen. But they didn't give up the fort apparently until just minutes ago, where they finally waved the white flag.
Was it anybody involved with like the last Woodstock?
Yeah,
shows?
Michael Lang.
Oh, really?
The guy who's he was the one not giving it up. It's crazy.
Oh, wow.
So let's get a break. We'll come back. We'll talk more with Tracy and Ace, who are here from LA Guns.
Tracy,
we got a whole hour, so we got a lot to cover. Stick around.
Football season is around the corner, and Podcast One Sportsnet has the best shows to help you build the best fantasy team in the league.
You can do it!
Break down all of the latest NFL news on Pro Football Focus Fantasy Football Podcast, then serve up some picks with Ross Tucker's Fantasy Feast.
Honestly, I think it's ridiculous in real life.
let alone ridiculous in fantasy football.
Take a spin with the Fantasy Record or rise above with the Underdog Sports Fantasy Hour.
Just when you think this guy's going to come into a season fully healthy, it looks like he may not.
Dominate the competition and download new episodes of these shows and more every week on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Welcome back to the quickest podcast ever, brought to you by Kohl's.
Today's topic, Mother's Day.
Just picking out some gifts at Kohl's. There's a KitchenAid mixer calling my name.
Your name? Doing some self-gifting, huh?
Nah, that's for my mom. Baking's her love language.
Love that.
The Fitbit, that's for me. Getting it for the self-care and the Kohl's cash.
That's a big deal.
So's the 20% off and free store pickup. I can get it all in less than an hour.
Talk about shopping goals.
20% offer valid April 28th through May 2nd. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Let's get back to more of this week's Eddie Trunk podcast with Tracy Guns and Ace Von Johnson of LA Guns.
Yo. So before we talk about some of the stuff going on now and shows coming up and all that, Trace, I want to ask you, so you said your family was in the plumbing business, born and raised here in LA.
Right.
First guitar was what, 17?
My first guitar?
Yeah.
Six.
At six?
At six. I started playing when I was six.
So when do you make the transition in away from the plumbing? What was the very first band?
The very first band I was in turned into LA Guns. It was, we were called Pyrus in let's see, junior high school.
Get up on the, pull that mic on so I can hear you a little better. I don't want to miss any of this.
I'm a very comfortable person.
It's fine as long as the mic's close to your mouth. So you put your first band together called Pyrus.
Yeah, I think Pyrus is the son of Achilles, but I could have made that up when I was, like, you know, I don't know, 12.
Sounded good.
Yeah.
How we spelling Pyrus, by the way?
Oh, I can't remember. It's like there's an H in it somewhere.
Is there a badass logo?
Oh yeah, you know. Devil tail and fire, and you know, it was metal, man.
Was it cover or original?
Original. Yeah. I've never been good at learning other people's stuff. You know, I have to, you know, I don't have a good ear that way. So, you know, I just had to write my own terrible music and it worked.
So you gigging around LA with that?
Yeah. I mean, at first, you know, I was just playing, you know, parties, you know, that's what you did back then. You play in the garage, and then someone's sister would be having like an eighth birthday party, and you guys play, and then we would play covers. We play Stairway to Heaven, Stranglehold, you know, stuff like that. But we had our own stuff, and people would just look at us, you know, sideways, like, what's that? I didn't have a singer forever. You know, I didn't have a singer until high school.
You played it all instrumentally?
Yeah, everything was instrumental. Same with Slash. Slash had this band called Titus Sloan. And he would play like Achilles' Last Stand with no vocals, you know. And of course, with like the six guys that were at the party, we'd all be like right in front, like, yeah. Yeah, it was really cool, man. It was a good time.
And then what does that evolve into?
Having to get a singer and, you know, ruining the fun.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
is that where the Axl Rose thing comes in?
No, the first guy was Mike Jagos, who passed away a few years. He was a really good singer. He was like a Klaus Meine kind of, you know. We were all into you know, European metal, and his brother sang in a band called Shire, and he was awesome too. You know, so Mike was the first singer for LA Guns, and you know, I always have problems with singers because I have a huge ego. Ask anybody. And then Axl came in when Mike got fired or dismissed somehow.
And where do you meet him? Because he's coming from Indiana, right?
Yeah, well, Izzy was living with me. Yeah, you know, I met Izzy. Izzy played bass in Shire. That was Mike Jagos' brother's band.
So Izzy came from Indiana to L.A. before Axl?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Way before.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
how
yeah.
long?
Oh, 3 years.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. He was a, you know, he was a scenester for sure, and
so you befriended him pretty quickly?
Yeah, I saw him at this gig. He was playing at the Roosevelt Hotel with Shire, and he stood out like a sore thumb. He looked like a little mini, you know, Susie Sue, you know, like a pink leather jacket on, black hair, you know, spiked all over the place. And
so, what kind of stuff was he playing at that point?
Well, they
was
were metal.
Covers?
They were metal.
Oh, Izzy Stradlin had a metal band.
Oh, yeah. He was, Shire was a metal band. They were like Saxon or something, you know.
Covers or original?
Originals. All okay. Originals. Yeah, we were, people here, we play, you know, you did originals here.
So you guys come together and do a band.
Yeah, so, well, no, at that point, you know, he's playing in Shire, and then we became friends, and then Mike Jagos started singing for what became LA Guns, and then eventually, somehow, Izzy needed somewhere to stay. So he moved into my mom's place in the dining room. He had this really cool little, like, he had it set up really cool. And then that's when the brainstorming started. You know, he was, you know, he was going to get Axl to come out to L.A., and he did, and they had Hollywood Rose.
So was he telling you at that point, I got this friend in Indiana that wants to move out here, and he was telling you about Axl?
Well, he just said, you know, at that, you know, you got to remember, you know, everybody listening, you weren't there, so it's going to be hard to fathom this. But, you know, Izzy was like, yeah, you know, this guy, he's really moldable. You know, he can really sing. He just needs some direction, you know, and stuff like that. And he came out and they put Hollywood Rose together, and Axl was really good, and he was innocent. You know, I mean, he was innocent to Hollywood, you know what I mean? Or, you know, he's just a really nice guy basically. And as time went on, you know, you learn things, but you know, the thing about Izzy and Axl, they were really responsible people. You know, they had jobs, and when Izzy didn't have a job, he would make jewelry and sell it on Melrose, you know, like really smart, you know, I mean, he didn't want to be in the street with no money, mm-hmm. you know, and then Axl ended up managing Tower Video. You know, I mean, these guys, they're smart guys, you know? And then Izzy joined London and Hollywood Rose fell apart. And, then we lost our singer in LA Guns, Mike Jagos, and I just, hey, Axl, do you want to sing for LA Guns? You know, and he's like, yes, you know, I got to sing, you know. So we did that for a while, like almost a year before we changed it to Guns N' Roses. And what had happened was we had done, LA Guns in London had done a show together, and some really stupid crap went down. It's not even worth mentioning because it's hearsay. But Izzy quit. He's like, you know.
No, Izzy was in London. Yeah. Was Nikki Sixx in London at that time?
No. Nikki Sixx was in London when I was like 12.
Okay.
You know, I mean, you got to separate the times.
Okay.
Nader was singing for London when Izzy joined.
Okay.
And when he left. And so Axl got in a fight with, not a fight, but an argument with our manager. And our manager fired Axl, but we all lived together. So it was like really like weird. So that same night he got fired, we started Guns N' Roses. And I called Izzy the next day and said, hey, we're going to start this new band called Guns N' Roses. Do you want in? And he's like, yeah. And that's, it's as simple as that. No cocaine involved.
What was the name was just putting your name and Axl's last name together.
It, yeah.
That was the idea.
Well, the original idea was like, before we decided to just start a new band, Axl said, well, I mean, we could still write songs and record, and I go, yeah, I mean, because we had an independent EP that was about to come out, so we knew how to record, we knew how to have, you know, put something out on our own. So so 5 minutes before the new band was Guns N' Roses, our record label was Guns N' Roses. So it's kind of like this, you know, very quick evolution of ideas that happened, and as soon as Izzy committed to it the next day, we were really excited about it, and the rest, as they say, is history.
But where does it go from there? How long did that last before it, whatever happened?
God, it's so hard
a
to
year?
Say. Yeah, like a year, under a year, 9 months, you know, 10 months.
A year of a band with you, Axl, Izzy, and who else was in it?
Well, it started with Rob Gardner was the drummer because he was the LA Guns drummer, and Oli Bike from Merciful Fate was our bass player. I think Oli left first because he didn't want to be in a glam band, and Rob left because his girlfriend gave him an ultimatum. So the first person in, Rob left first because I don't remember. No, Oli left first. Duff was the first guy to come in from the outside, and then Adler came in. That was an odd thing because he was in Hollywood Rose, and Izzy just didn't want to work with him, you know. And
with Steven.
Yeah, with Steven. And Axl was like, who cares? He's a drummer. We need a drummer. We have a show, you know. And then, and I had actually grown up with Steven, you know. And I was just kind of leery, you know, is he just going to make trouble? And he didn't. You know, and he played really well when he came to the audition. You know, I was like, wow, you can really play. You know what I mean? Kind of. And, but Duff was like, when Duff came in, Duff was a serious musician. He wasn't his image. You know, his image was, you know, Johnny Thunders, sloppy rock guy. But man, you know, he had a chorus pedal. You know, he was playing Geddy Lee stuff, you know, in a cover band at the time. You know, so I was really excited about that. Like, oh my God, this guy is like a real musician. Yes, this is going to be fantastic. And then when we got Adler, so we did like two gigs with Ole and Rob. And then I probably did eight more gigs with the new guys. The new guys. That was like 33 years ago. But yeah.
Right, right. You know. And then it sounds like then the only change that happened was you were what? Eventually replaced by Slash?
Yeah, by Slash, yeah.
So what happened there? Did you leave? Were you booted? What was, did you see that coming? What went on?
It got really uncomfortable, you know, as we got a lot of attention really quick when that chemistry came together and that band started playing, and our circle of friends, you know, were very, they hung on, you know what I mean? They were around all the time. So it was like very difficult to, you know, have 10 minutes of silence or, you know, get a full night's sleep or have a band meeting without, you know, six friends being there. Like, no, what you guys need to do, it's like put your cocaine away, go in the bathroom and shut up. And what had happened when I did leave finally, Axel was hanging out with somebody I went to high school with, actually, or junior high school, and had disappeared for like a week. And when the next time I saw him was at a sound check at my second to last show, and he just started dictating to everybody, you know, like, and he was angry and you know, it's like, whoa, who's this guy? You know, I don't know this guy, you know, and we had been living together for almost a year. And so and it sucked because that show was absolutely packed to the gills. It was this place called the Timbers Club in Glendora, and the band was on fire, you know, but me and Izzy were just like looking at each other from across the stage, like, you know, this is weird. You know, like all of a sudden we weren't connected to Axel, you know, like he had taken over his space and was really talking a lot. And we weren't playing a lot that night. And then the next night was at the Waters Club in San Pedro. And he was real late. That was the first time he was ever late to anything. And we were all awkward and uncomfortable already. You know, we were just like, oh, you know, is he going to show up? Like, what is going on? You know? And the show was fine. And then Duff drove me home. Duff's girlfriend, Katarina, drove us home. And I told Duff on the way home, I'm like, is this cool? Like, he's like, yeah, do you see all the people? I go, no, I mean, you know, like what's going on here? And he goes, yeah, I know, Axel, you know, he goes, well, you know, that's why we're a band. And then we have a singer. And I'm like, yeah, but he's like my best friend. And I haven't talked to him in like 8 days.
So he got real distant on you.
He got distant from everything. Like, you know, he just was like newfound power, you know, like some, you know,
because the band and he was getting attention.
Oh yeah. A lot of attention.
So it kind of went to his head.
I mean, I, you know,
whatever caused it.
Yeah. And you know, I was 19, you know, I'm not sure if I even had my braces off yet. You know, I got my braces off my teeth somewhere while I was in Guns N' Roses, you know, I mean, that's how young I was.
Wow.
And I was just really uncomfortable, and I was just like, nah, I'll go back and do LA Guns. I'll figure this out. And that was that.
And where did you meet Phil Lewis then? Because I knew Phil from Girl.
Yeah,
you
me
know,
too.
Because I was a fan of those two Girl records, and I knew that band before LA Guns even came out as a rock fan. So,
oh, yeah.
So, but they weren't successful records in America, the Girl records.
Well, they were to me.
Well, because we liked them, we were rock geeks, you know, but they weren't commercially successful.
And
but
again, that was Izzy. You know, when we were living together, he's like, hey, you got to listen to this. You know, and he had the Sheer Greed on vinyl. And I loved Hollywood Tees immediately. You know, I was like, wow, this band is insane. And then, see, the cool thing about Izzy is he liked, you know, the Rolling Stones as much as he liked Accept. So in his music collection, you know, he had everything from Tigers of Pantang to Hanoi Rocks to Japan, Stones, Rose Tattoo, you know, a bigger mix. Well, at that time I was listening to Wasp, Too Fast for Love, it couldn't get heavy enough for me. You know, I just wanted heavy, heavy, heavy. Mm-hmm. So it was a really good balance of music, and he turned me on to Phil. And when we had a problem with a singer, when I reformed LA Guns immediately after Guns N' Roses, it was patchwork. You know, it's like, okay, well, that guy can sing, sort of. Okay, let's do this. Because I didn't want to lose momentum, you know, that I had. But it didn't work out with that guy. And we had a British manager, Alan Jones. And he goes, you know, we were just about to sign our deal, you know, and we got rid of this guy. And he goes, who do you want to sing? Like, if you could have anybody in the world. And my first thing was like, do you know who Phil Lewis is from Girl? You know, and he goes, I do. I'm friends with him. I'm like, I want him, you know. I was 19.
Was Phil in England at the time?
He was in England, yeah. He was just, I want to say he was playing with Bernie, but I'm not.
Bernie Torme?
Yeah, but I think it had ended maybe, I don't think he was really doing much of anything. And it was perfect timing. And he came out with a suitcase, and we met at the Cat and the Fiddle on Sunset.
I know where it is. Yeah.
And his audition was the next day, and he said two words into the microphone, and I said, that'll do. And here we are 30-something years later, you know, and I'm still going, that'll do.
Wow, that's amazing. And you know, 77 lineups later.
Yeah, yeah.
And amazing, unbelievable ups and downs ins and outs. Yeah. And the family tree and bell curve of LA Guns ever since is...
Well, I mean, are bands really supposed to last this long? Yeah, I mean, the Stones and AC/DC, okay. Who else? You know what I mean? It's like, it's a weird thing, you know? But, you know, Phil and I, in reality... We didn't ever have an issue with each other. We had a lot of people, not just one specific person. We had people pulling us apart, you know, from one side to the other. But, you know, the bottom line, when we rehearsed for our very first, not reunion show, but the first time we played together again, when we went into rehearsal for this Vegas thing we did, it was so obvious that the sound of my guitar and the sound of his voice with the songs we write together, that is LA Guns. There's, you know, people could go out and play the songs and they could do a great job at it. But I just watched a video of Phil singing Crystallize from like a week ago. My God, that guy can sing.
He's amazing still.
And nobody sounds like that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know his voice instantly. And going back to Girl, I mean, that was one of the things that really appealed to me about the band was the guy had such a cool voice. And he still, I don't think he gets nearly enough credit for being the singer that he still is even now, every night, night in and night out. I mean, he sings so well. It's incredible.
He does. You know, and the thing that people don't really understand about him either is he takes care of his voice. You know, he does, he's been doing the same warm-up tape since Cocked and Loaded.
Oh, wow.
You know, every night it works for him. He goes out there, he delivers, and I think because of a lot of things in his life that have happened in the last 30 years, which, you know, personal things and stuff like that, you know, I think he doesn't give himself enough credit for, you know, how unique he is, how, you know, there's nobody else like him, you know, and that's really what defines, you know, if you hear something come out on the radio, it's Phil's voice, you know, more so than my guitar playing. It just so happens that the songs that we write together and the sound of my guitar playing with his voice, that's LA Guns.
Yeah.
You know, it's so obvious. And it wasn't obvious to me for years.
Right.
Until we got back together.
Right.
And I was like, whoa, you know.
Right.
You know, when that smelly little chick was singing these songs, man, it did not sound like this. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right, right. One more thing on the past. Do you have any relationship still with Izzy? Do you still talk to Izzy Stradlin?
I saw Izzy. There was like some weird show at a Key Club like 10 years ago, maybe, that Ricky Rackman put together. It was like a Guns N' Roses thing. And I saw Izzy that night and we talked for a minute and it was very nice. And, that might have been the last time I talked to Slash.
So it's a long time ago, 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's been 10 years. Yeah, I mean, I haven't even talked to Gilby in 10 years.
And what about, and needless to say, then it sounds like not Axl.
I haven't talked to Axl since 1989.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's amazing that you could have, like, live with these guys and have this sort of history and then everybody just drifts and...
Well, think about it this way. You know, a bunch of people come together in a strange place and create something amazing. and then, but you don't really know each other. You know each other intensely for, it's kind of like a whirlwind relationship with a woman, you know, a man and a woman. You have this great time, you do an amazing thing, and then something goes fatally wrong. Well, you're not really going to call that chick back.
Right,
it's that kind of thing, but I'm super proud of it. And I've always supported Guns N' Roses. You know what I mean? They went way beyond.
Well, I was going to ask you, did Appetite surprise you?
It did not surprise me.
The success of it?
No.
Out of the box, it did not surprise you?
I got the cassette, the advanced cassette, the minute the mixes were done. It was delivered to the Village Studio for me immediately when we were recording the first LA Guns record. And I went in by myself into Studio A at the Village, and I listened to the whole thing, and I was laughing the whole, just like, oh, this is insane. And so I went into the studio where all the guys were. I go, hey man, you got to come listen to this record. Now we're in the middle of recording our record. I go, you got to hear this record. And they came in, and particularly Kelly and Mick were just like, it's okay. It's all right. You know, you're just, because it was your band. And I was like, no, listen to the double vocals on It's So Easy. That is amazing. I remember it like it was yesterday. And I knew the first time I heard it. I knew,
Is there anything on Appetite that you had anything to do with?
There's a lot that I had stuff to do with, but there's nothing that I brought in fresh. There's nothing like, I didn't bring in, Think About You or, I can't remember the track list anymore. But there's like four or five that I played live and helped put together, you know, during rehearsal, you know, arranging, adding little parts here and there, stuff like that. What's that? My way, Anything Goes, you know, I'm just trying to remember.
So there were early versions of those songs that you were playing in the band.
Yeah, Izzy actually has cassette tapes of them. I mean, he did. I don't know if he still does, but he has all that stuff. I always wanted to get that stuff, but I fear that it's lost forever. But yeah, I mean, the songs were always great from day one. Even when Axl was in LA Guns, we had some songs that none of us ended up using. That, like, we had one called Bloodshot Eyes, man. This song is so cool. We knew that you had to have great songs. You know, that it's one thing to be a great band. It's another thing to be a great band with great songs.
Right.
And everybody always understood that. And you know, that's the key to longevity is, you know, having songs that people still want to sing now.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look at the success of Guns N' Roses really quick without hogging up too much time. You know, they did a couple records a long time ago, a very long time ago, that are so important that they can go and fill stadiums now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's some foresight. You know, I mean, you know, at that time when we were all, I wasn't even 20 yet, you know, and Axl and Izzy are in their early 20s, you know, and Duff too, you know, putting this stuff down onto tape, it's so legit. It's so real. I mean, that is such a time capsule for any budding artist because, number one, you take zero advice. You know what I mean? Like, you know, advice is useless when you're that age. You know, you're an old rebellious teen.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you see the reaction in the audience of people's faces, you know, when you're, especially for a rock band, you know, because the goal is to get people singing and headbanging, even in Guns N' Roses, you know, which doesn't seem that heavy now, but at the time we were a heavy band and you got to go with your gut. And that's what Guns N' Roses always maintained. I felt, even though I don't like the Use Your Illusion records that much, you know, Axl was still Axl, you know, and he was still bringing it. And that was the key, is like not taking advice, you know. And the Stones never, you know, Mick Jagger never took any advice.
Right.
You know what I mean? And these are the biggest bands in the world. And so if you trust your instinct as a rocker and what people like, you just stick to it. You do it. I mean, it's too late now. I feel sorry for bands that want to really be rock, man. I mean, other than the Struts are pretty great, but you know, there's not a lot of opportunity or attention span, you know, to create these lifestyle rock and roll bands. Mm. You know, it's tough. Mm.
Tracy Guns is here. The new L.A. Guns album, The Devil You Know, is out there right now. They've got some more dates coming up we'll talk about in a second, including one September 13th at the IDL in Tulsa with our good buddy Doug Burgess and his crew. And it'll be out there. I'll be out there hosting that, as I do for all the IDL shows. Looking forward to that. Weapon.
Before we go, I have to tell you something.
Yeah.
There is a reason why vinyl sounds better than digital music, but why? We can talk about that later. Well, it's scientific.
Oh, okay.
I wrote you.
You want to take the last half hour of the show up.
I wrote you when you came out and didn't understand, and I wrote to you and I told you why.
You wrote,
but I don't
you
know.
Sent me an email?
No, on Twitter. But I don't know if you had time.
Well, I don't know if I saw it.
It's scientific. It's not.
I don't deny that.
Yeah, it's not an opinion.
Okay. All right. Anyway, Ace and Tracy are here. Ace, you are here now. What? How long have you been in LA Guns now? How long is this? Not even a year, right?
About ten months. Yeah, maybe about a year. And yeah, I guess technically.
How's the whole gig been for you so far? Been enjoying it?
Easy. Yeah, I love it. It's like, you know.
Trace, did he gel immediately? Did it work for you?
Well, we knew when we got back together we wanted Ace, but Tammy's a really good friend of mine, and. In my opinion, Ace in Faster Pussycat, he was the most focused player. He was the most excited to be there. You know, he provided a lot of energy for Faster Pussycat, and I just wasn't willing to go there. And I really wanted to keep Michael Grant in the band at the time because that's who Phil had been playing with, and it seemed like people really liked Michael, you know, so I was like, okay. And then the time had come, and... Scotty, our manager, he's like, you know, maybe it's time, maybe let go. You know, I know Tammy's your friend, but you know, I think Ace would really do it. And I go, yeah, I know I'll do it. And you know, come on, you know, it's time. You know, and I said, all right. And then here it is. We always knew that Ace was the right guy.
So what is your status in Faster Pussycat? Are you technically still in the band or not? Because they're touring right now
touring. Technically, I'm still in the band. I told Tammy, it's kind of complicated. I told Tammy about 6 months ago. I said, because there's things I do outside of just being in a band, you know, full time. You know, I do voiceover and a couple other things that are not music related. And I told him, I said, man, there's some stuff coming up I'm not going to be able to do. You know, maybe we should discuss maybe getting a sub. And he's like, oh, you know, okay. I don't think he was stoked on it. I mean, I don't want there to be any sort of public opinion that I quit Faster Pussycat to be in LA Guns, because A, I didn't quit Faster Pussycat, and B, it didn't go down like that. As a matter of fact, several times Scotty, who manages LA Guns and a couple other bands, had contacted me saying, you know, hey, there's some member shifting in a position, blah, blah, blah. And I said, you know, schedule wise and, you know, personal reasons and whatever, I can't do it, you know. And when you guys got
Monaco.
Thank you. Yeah, I couldn't remember his name. Johnny
Rules was. I saw him play with you guys. Yeah. Show
and
also.
He's a shredder. He's a great guitar player. Amazing. And a funny guy. But it just didn't work out. And the timing at that moment, I had several months off, and I was going through a breakup and was just ready to get back out on the road. And it was sort of, for me personally, I took it as like, you know, if it works out, it works out. And, you know, I know all these guys. I've known Johnny Martin for 15 years. You know, we actually figured it out. We met when I was like 20, 21. And I, you know, I've known you and Phil for maybe 9-10 years. Yeah. And I went out there, you know, try it on, you know, and I had a blast. And, you know, this guy's become one of my best friends, and everyone's super sweet. And it's easy. It's an easy gig. You know, I have fun. I don't know. I feel like really put on the spot here, but,
well, no, I mean,
my boss is sitting right next to me. I better be nice.
Well, not just
dad. Yeah. Kinda.
But you were, like Tracy said,
yeah,
you, with your role in Faster Pussycat, it, you know, obviously that's Tammy's thing and we all right. know that,
yeah,
but
yeah.
you had a very prominent role in that band.
Yeah.
You know, you were a big part of that band, and you know, and you were great in the way you played in that. I don't mean to talk about it past tense, because I'm not really sure if it is past tense.
No, for me, it's not past tense. That's kind of, I mean, I personally chose Sam Bam who's subbing for Pussycat right now. And it's interesting for me to see like the little sewing circles on the internet. You know, they're like, well, I heard, and this, and you know, he quit, he got fired, and it's like, all right. And I wrote someone the other day who was kind of, you know, talking out of the side of their neck, and I said, you know how I know? Because I'm in the fucking band. That's how I know.
Right.
You know, and so unless Tammy's made up some other decision that I'm unaware of, last I checked, I'm still, if you will, a shareholder. I'm still a band member. I'm still in the band. I'm still on the website and all that stuff.
You still have the password to the social media.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, after 10 years, Tammy told me, he goes, you've been in my band a decade, man. He goes, I'm not firing you. He's like, I'd never want you to quit. You know, so you'll always have, that's literally what he said. He said, you'll always have a home as long as we're playing. So we'll see. You know, I mean, I'm sure I'll be back, you know, and it's like there was one point where there was something I couldn't do or something. I think it didn't end up happening, but I was like, if I can't do it, you know, get, you know, Adam or something like that or whatever.
Yeah, I mean
but,
we have musicians. We're not just a 5-piece band.
Having been on the road now and been in L.A. Guns, as you've been for about just a shy of a year.
Yeah.
And many years in Faster Pussycat.
Yeah.
The difference is in touring with the two bands on the road.
Don't be a dick.
No. I mean in terms of alcohol consumption.
It's funny, Ed. I actually brought you a little gift.
Look at that, Mike. Wait. Let me get the camera.
Okay. Yeah. So I brought you this tiny little gift here.
Oh my God!
As
Ace
a token of my affection,
with a airplane bottle size of Jack Daniels, because of my history of doing a shot of Jack with Faster Pussycat mid-show, which now when I do that, I have to go around around
Tammy.
With it,
yeah,
right?
He's got 3 years sober now.
Toast Tammy and then move around to the other guys.
But I'm really proud of him for that too, by the way. Yeah so enjoy. That's
thank you, Ace.
That's for old time's sake.
Yeah,
but yeah,
this is an easy chug.
There's a, I mean, the difference is
liquid Valium, right? That's exactly what a Valium will do.
Yeah, just kind of make you mellow out.
Oh yeah, that's a Valium.
All right.
You know, there's obviously a musicianship factor. You know what I mean? I mean, Tammy has his sound. Phil has his sound. But they're definitely two different animals. You know, with Pussycat, I was the lead guitar player. And I'm an okay, you know, guitar player. Tracy, on the other hand, playing with Tracy, I mean, you're Tracy Guns. You're a fucking legend. You know, history aside, as a player alone, I mean, you know, I've already learned a whole slew of stuff to add to my arsenal behind your back. You know, I'm at home, I'm like, ha ha ha, stole this riff from you. But, you know, so
that's
it's
what
a different,
you're supposed to do.
Right. So it's a different vibe there. And then, you know, I mean, Pussycat is a party band.
That's what
you know?
I mean. Yeah,
we
that's
party.
Where I was going. Yeah,
we go until the wheels fall off, sometimes to some of our own detriment, you know. Right. But Guns is still a sleazy rock band, but there isn't that sort of, I don't have to worry about someone blacking out during a gig or whatever. You know, so I'll kind of leave it at that. But I mean, they're very much the same, but very much different.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
different levels. And I'm happy to be a part of both of them now. It's definitely been an honor, and it's an honor for me to play with this guy, and it's been an honor for me to play with Tammy. I fucking love that guy.
Yeah,
you know, for 10 years.
I love Tammy too.
Yeah, we all love. Yeah,
well, he was here last month. He was here in the studio with me just before the tour started. I had him on just like, you know, same slot as you guys. So it was great catching up with him, and I'm very happy for him that he has turned a corner and is completely sober and healthy, because we need that guy around.
Yeah.
And he's sharp, man. He's on it, man. He's really, really sharp. And the tour resumes when? When are the next dates?
Coming up.
So this month, you know, we just have like local shows. We have like St. Rock and we're playing Ramona, California.
Okay.
And the
Coach House down in San Juan Capistrano.
Yeah, Coach House. Like we got, you know. But then we
Kiefer
leave
show.
Again. Yeah, we play with Tom Kiefer in Ojai.
Oh, nice.
That'll be a good one.
And then right after that, we go back out for 3 weeks or 2 weeks or something.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Always going to be tour dates. Check online, see which ones are coming near you. I'll be at the one in Tulsa on September 13th at the IDL. And we'll grab a few calls for the guys. But, Trace, you said you wanted to mention something new is coming, right?
We're working on a Christmas EP.
Oh, nice.
And we're going to do a really fun video for one of the tunes. So we'll have a little bit of LA Guns out there. And we just re-signed with Frontiers for 2 more full-length records, too.
Cool.
So,
all right.
More music.
Look forward to those coming soon. Let's get Chad, who's in Houston, on the air with us, our first caller. What's going on, Chad?
Hey, Eddie, how you doing today?
I'm great, man. What's going on?
Good. Hey, first, I want to say thank you for the water bottle. Received it today. Appreciate that.
Oh, did they send you one out? Awesome. All right. You can thank Ed.
Yeah,
he probably
it.
Processed that, but all right.
All right. Well, and hello to Tracy and Ace. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Hey.
Nice to hear from you.
Good, man. Yeah.
What's your question, Chad?
So real quick, you guys are coming in September 12th to Warehouse Live, so the date before IDL Ballroom. We saw you guys back in 2008. You may not remember this. It was Rock on the Bayou. It was a big festival Houston did. It was a three-day deal.
Oh, I do remember.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, the hurricane was coming or something.
Yeah, I remember.
Well, I remember that because I was supposed to go to that, and I was supposed to fly in the day that hurricane was going to hit. And I talked to the promoter. I'm like, am I really flying into the eye of a hurricane to go to a rock festival? That was a while ago.
That was, it was 10. Yeah. Jagger's mom was still pregnant with Jagger. She was there.
And that was you. That was when there were. Well,
it was me and Jizzy.
Yeah. I was going to say
I believe.
One of the versions of LA Guns that was not with Phil for you at that time.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. So, Chad, what was your question?
So, just real quick, guys, I'm looking forward to seeing you guys. I haven't seen you in years. Ace. I hit you up on Twitter. If you guys need a good taco spot when you guys get to Houston, hit me up and I'll send you that way. And then Tracy.
Please. Tacos. Yeah, we love tacos.
Who doesn't?
Tracy,
man?
If you need weed, I know a good weed shop.
Tracy, well, they're on every corner here in LA.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah, that's true. Tracy, real quick, started listening to the Cap House Hollywood podcast with you and Ricky, and I love the organic conversation you guys have. Eddie, I'll see you August 17th at Warehouse Live for Tom Kiefer, man. Take care, guys, and thank you for taking my call.
All right, Chad. Thank you very much. Very cool. Yeah, I had Ricky on to promote his podcast. He seems to be doing well with it. He seems to really be into it, so that's good is. Good for him.
Hi, Ricky.
Hi, hey, Ricky. We love you, Ricky.
John in upstate New York. What's going on, John?
Hey, Eddie, Ace, and Mr. Guns. How you doing?
Good. How are you,
I got
man?
A really interesting question for you, Mr. Guns. I love that name. It's a great name. when you played at the Rock the Vault in Vegas, and you played with Howard Leese, and you played with Mr.
Raiding
Sortino,
the Rock Vault.
Raiding the Rock Vault.
Right, yeah.
And Mr. Sortino and Robin McCauley. That was an awesome group. I mean, you guys had a lot of fun. Were you the first of the incarnation of that?
We did a pilot show in L.A. at this place called the Mayan Theater and to try to get it picked up in Vegas. And I didn't know that was the intention. I thought we were just doing something cool. And then all of a sudden I got a call right around Christmas before we started in Vegas that, hey, we got picked up in Vegas at the LVH. You want to do it? And I'm like, yeah, that was that.
No, I enjoyed that a lot.
It's really great. Really, I had a really good time doing that.
And it's still going. I was just still in going, Vegas, and it's still going with various different people in and out. I think Howard Leese is still there.
Yeah, he still does it.
Howard's still doing it, and it's still at Vinyl in the Hard Rock, which unfortunately that venue is going away because the Hard Rock in Vegas is going to change to a Virgin Hotel. They're going to close for like 8 months, and I was told the big venue's staying, but the small venue Vinyl is going to be changed over to something else. Hey, before we run out of time, somebody emailed me and wanted me to ask you about your time when you did Contraband.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting is, I often forget about this myself. Mm-hmm. You and I are huge Michael Schenker UFO fans.
Yeah.
How surreal was it for you to have been in a band with Michael Schenker?
It was unbelievable, man. We were on tour. I would just stare at him. he's a quiet
there
guy.
There was one show, I don't remember where we were, but it was a festival, and he was playing, and you were playing, and me and you were just crouched. There's a photo of it.
Yeah, there's a photo.
In the wings
of
the stage, me and Tracy just crouched like fanboys on our knees looking up at Michael with the V.
Yeah, I mean, the most important thing for me when we did that project was that I did not want to play metal against Michael Schenker. You know what I mean? Like the songs were not metal, but I knew that Michael was going to play Michael Stott. You know, Michael is Michael, you know, and I didn't want to do any fast legato runs. I didn't want to do anything that I learned or stole from him. You know what I mean? I was very nervous, you know? And so I got a Fender Strat and a Fender Bassman amp and maybe a distortion pedal on a wah-wah. And that was me and Contraband. I just, I'm still in awe of that. Every time I run into Michael and we talk, I'm just like, he's Michael Shanker, man.
Yeah, yeah, he is. I want to give you an opportunity to say anything you want about this, only because you're very vocal about it on mm-hmm. social media if people follow yeah. you on Twitter. But everyone knows you're, you know, the band, and you guys are not thrilled that now Stephen Riley's doing another L.A. Guns and has done some shows. And the reason why I bring it up is because you hit it on social media. You will respond to people and all that. So on radio, is there anything you want to say now?
It's just embarrassing. It's embarrassing for us. It's embarrassing for them. And we said it earlier, there's only one Phil Lewis, you know, and that is clearly the sound of the singer that sings these songs. You know what I mean? And I just saw a performance of them going on at 6 o'clock in the afternoon in the Las Vegas desert, you know, to try to put $300 in their pocket. You know, it's like, there's got to be something better for you in your life than to try to take on a persona of something you were involved with, you know, 25 years ago, while the band that has the only founding member, I'm the only founding member of LA Guns, okay? And the singer that sang, that everybody saw on MTV mm. and to this day is still in the videos of when we were popular, you know? So it's just, it's so low. It's so without shame. It's yucky, you know. It's the only way I can put it. Sure, I made a really big mistake at some point when I was agoraphobic in 1994. You know, yeah, Riley, if you feel like you got to go trademark the name to keep us safe, you know, and I even told him then, I don't need to trademark my own name. You know, I'm Tracy Guns. I am L.A. Guns. No, bro, we got to do it. You know, you never know when someone's going to try to steal it like he did. Right? You know, that's what this guy did. You know, I don't pull no punches. I don't have to be sorry for anything. It's my band. We are successful once again. And these are lizards picking up tiny scraps that we leave behind. And that means when we turn down a show in the desert at 6 o'clock in the afternoon, mm-hmm. because we don't want to die from heat stroke, Steve Riley's going to be that guy that goes, yo, I got a piece of that name right there. I could do it and I could make the money. It's as simple as that. It shows no backbone. It shows that his name is valueless as a solo artist. And same with Kel. What are you doing, man? What are you doing? You have that such low self-esteem. You can't go out and play music under your own merit and your own name. You know, I have no problem doing it. You know, I don't even have to use my own band's name to go and have a successful career as a musician. So it's just really embarrassing for everybody involved, you know, and that's what I don't like about it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I wanted you to be able to address it because, like I said, you do talk about it online. So
I do.
You're on the radio. You lay it out how you want
to. Flash out of the fire, 20 piece.
Ricky, Ricky.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt your conversation, but you're on the air now live, buddy.
Geez, man, I'm at the McDonald's drive thru. Sorry, dude.
Get me a milkshake.
Yeah, can you get me a quarter pounder with cheese with bacon?
And some French like fries. Bacon.
He's in Maryland. It'll probably be pretty funky by the time it got
to LA. Already funky when they give it to you.
It's got enough preservatives in it. It'll last.
Yeah. Oh, my.
Ricky, well, you're
for
on
my
the
daughter,
air.
She had to have McDonald's, man. Anyway, guys, Trace, man, it's great to talk to you, man. I'm excited about talking to you.
Right on.
Dude, it's been... the last time I actually got to talk to you in person would have been...
Ricky, hold on. We got 60 seconds before the show's going to end, so get your question out, because otherwise we're going to be done.
Tracy, do you remember playing a show at the Paragon in College Park, Maryland in 1988, right after the album came out?
I would love to tell you that I did.
I barely remember it, but I can tell you my mother booked you guys to that show.
Wow.
And I got to meet you guys, and it was the first time I'd ever met any real, like, rock stars, man. So,
That must be a great memory, man.
Because of that.
That is special.
All right, Ricky.
I'm glad you called. Thanks, Ricky.
Thanks for the call, and keep that McDonald's hot for your daughter, please. Get it home right away. Darren in California, real quick. One more quick one. Go ahead, Darren.
Hey, I understand you guys are playing at the Coach House in South Orange County pretty soon.
That's right.
Do you know what date that is?
Yes, sir. I want
to
say
the website. What's the official website?
My kid's first day of school is the 6th of August.
But oh. What's the website for LA Guns?
LAGunsMusic.com.
Okay, I'll do that, Eddie.
Go there, Darren. No, you'll see all the dates, including the Coach House date. Coach House.
But the Coach House is amazing. It's a small venue. I saw Queens
it's
right
killer.
There
it's great,
and with Jeff Tate. You guys are going to blow the freaking roof off that place.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We played there a couple times last year, and it's loud. It's fun.
Enjoy, Darren.
Thanks,
guys,
Darren.
Thank you.
Thanks, bro.
Good to see you. Everybody Get the Devil, you know it's a killer record.
It is a killer record.
It really is. The title track is heavy
as
hell.
Best song is Going High. Just I want everybody to know that. Going High is the best song on the album.
That's your favorite?
Thank you. Yes.
All right. I got different favorites all the time, but I
like Loaded Bomb. That's my jam.
Loaded Bomb.
All right. All right.
You're wrong, man. You're wrong.
Yeah.
Argue over what's greater on the new LA Guns
Thanks
record.
Thanks for having us, Eddie.
LAGunsMusic.com. Look for the dates. Ace, Tracy, thank you. Always good to see you.
Well, my thanks to Tracy and Ace for the conversation and coming by. The interview you just heard was done in my SiriusXM LA studio a few weeks ago. Covered a lot of ground there, some real fascinating stuff. Check out the new LA Guns record, The Devil You Know. And if you're in Tulsa, come see all of us when we're at the IDL Ballroom on September 13th. Get your tickets now at StubWire. Be sure to follow me on Twitter, where I'm most up to the second with news, info, and updates, at Eddie Trunk. Instagram, at Eddie Trunk. And, of course, EddieTrunk.com is my official online home. All of my appearances are right there on the homepage, so be sure to check it out and come out and see me if I'm headed your way, including a speaking engagement that's coming soon. And check that out. That's early September, and it's in New Hampshire, I think. New Bedford, Massachusetts, at the Vault Music Hall. And that is like early September. The date's on the homepage of EddieTrunk.com. Don't forget to also check out TrunkFest on Access TV with new episodes every Sunday night, 9:30 Eastern Time. Replaying Wednesday is 9:30 Eastern Time as well. You guys have yourselves a great week. I'll see you next Thursday for another all-new episode of the Eddie Trunk Podcast, as usual, produced by Katie Irizarry. Have a good week.
Jordan here. I know a lot of you create your own podcasts, and a lot of you already have one like me. I obviously love what I do. It's taken a lot of hard work to get to this point of success. You shouldn't have to pay fees for platform hosting, distribution, analytics, or fees to create a podcast. You need to be able to focus on producing the best show possible. Now, Podcast One, that's a network I'm on, they have Launchpad Digital Media, or Launchpad DM for short. So it's free, includes unlimited hosting, full control of distribution. You have access to a full dashboard with analytics. Again, totally free. You own everything, by the way. You own your content, you own your subscribers, no tricky stuff there. And you get your own show page on launchpaddm.com for people to listen to and subscribe to your show. It's the only hosting platform brought to you by the leading network, Podcast One. Podcast One will promote the site, drive people to discover your podcast, and if your show grows, you could even be invited to join Podcast One's all-star roster, which includes people like Adam Carolla, Caitlin Bristow, Shaq, Lady Gang, and of course, me, Jordan Harbinger. I'm there too. You also get access to their production and sales support. So with all this completely free, don't use other hosting platforms. Why would you need to? Learn more or sign up now at launchpaddm.com. And don't forget to check out The Jordan Harbinger Show.
Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's Jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.